முகம் குருதி பாசலம் பங்கும் லங்காய தீகிரிபாத்தமகம் வந்தி பரமானந்த மாதவம். I bow down to Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, through whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our lives. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, Moksha Yoga, Liberation Through Renunciation. Last time we discussed the quintessence of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna said to Arjuna, give up all of your duties, take refuge in me, I shall rescue you, save you from all kinds of sins. Do not grieve. It is God's promise to man that if you take refuge in God, God will protect you, save you. After giving these spiritual discourses, Krishna is summing up his message. Be careful, my message is very precious. Don't give it to everybody. Verse 67. Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushrushabhi vacham na cha mam yo abhya suyati. You must not speak it to one who is not austere in life or who is without devotion, nor to one who does not wish to hear, nor to one who speaks ill of me. Now, we sometimes give spiritual instructions to the people without knowing that person's background. Sometimes those instructions do not work. When Christ instructs, Ramakrishna instructs, he knows that person who is taking or accepting those instructions. Sri Ramakrishna made a remark that without ascertaining a person's spiritual quality or hankering or yearning or longing, do not instruct. Swami, what does it mean? Shall we not get spiritual instruction? There are two sets of instructions. One set general, that we do here. Give instructions. We are talking about spiritual life. Some teachings may appeal to you, some may not. But real spiritual instructions are one-to-one basis, comes from one-to-one basis. So Krishna says, idam te na tapaskaya, the person who has never practiced austerity, never practiced spiritual disciplines, don't talk about Bhagavad Gita to him. Why? Because that person has no background. Christ said that if you give the spiritual instruction and don't throw the pearls in front of the swine, you see, they do not know the value of your spiritual gems. You may scatter indiscriminately. Some will fall on the stone, those seeds will never sprout. Some may be here and there, the birds will take them, eat them up. One or two seeds may fall into the right soil and those seeds will sprout. That Krishna said. Na tapaskaya, tapasya, austerity is very important. Now, avaktaya, the person who is not a devotee, it will not be effective. These words we shall discuss very carefully. You see, if you want to be a student of Vedanta, you must be a student. You need some preliminary disciplines. Otherwise, you won't understand. For that reason, when the newcomers come, I always say, come here few times. Houston Smith used to ask, come here 12 times. Minimum 12 times. He used to demand from his students. Then you will get a little background so that you may understand our philosophy, our way of life, our spiritual discourses. Well, no. Na tapaskaya. Na tapaskaya has another meaning. It means that person listens to a lecture but does not practice. Scripture does not reveal to his mind. Some people come to the lectures and classes, they go away and forget everything. Second, qualification Krishna demands, that person must be a lover of God, because Gita is the song of God. If you want to listen to the song of God, you must be a devotee. You must be a lover of God. Otherwise, you won't listen. You will hear pop music or some cheap movie music or rock music. This music, this song of God will not touch your heart. Third qualification, Krishna says, Ashushrushave. Suppose that person practices austerity, has a little devotion, love for God, but that person, he is not yearning. You know, some people attend lectures and classes just to develop the knowledge, some intellectual knowledge. Or that person might have nishtha, steadfast devotion for that person or for the scripture, but no yearning, longing. Sometimes I say, you might have all qualities. If you do not have longing for God, yearning for God, vain is your life. Do you know what does it mean? It means you have cooked food and put it on the dining table, but you have no appetite. It means that. If you don't have appetite, your cooking is meaningless, your setting table is meaningless, putting food on the table, on the dining table is meaningless. We appetite. That Krishna said, Ashushrushave. You must have tremendous yearning, longing for God. Adhyasuyati, and haters of God. Don't talk about me to the haters of God. Most of the 99% people do not like God. Because they think if we talk about God, if we go to hear spiritual discourses, it may ruin my worldly enjoyment. You see, there are some people, they hate. Vidda havai brahmana majagama gopaya mas hevadi isti asmi. The Brahma Vidda, knowledge of Brahma. Going to the illumined souls and press their mouths. Don't talk about me to everybody. I shall not be able to bear the result. You see, if the illumined souls speak about God, it will reveal to you, it will give you revelations. So this Brahma Vidya, knowledge of Brahman, went and pressed the mouths of the illumined souls. Don't talk about me to everybody. I shall not be able to produce the result. Your effort will be in vain. Asuya ka anarijib anrijabe shathayo mama bruyat virjyoti tatha syam. Asuya ka. People, those who have jealousy, hatred, anger in their minds, they are not the good students. Anrijabe. Anrijabe means complicated soul. They are not frank, simple, guileless. Scripture does not hit them. Shathayo, cheat, crooked, hypocrites. Their mouths and minds are not united. Mama Bruyad Virchavati. These people cannot get this experience of the scriptures. Second, bhakti, devotion. As you have devotion to God, same devotion you must for the teacher. Then these truths of the scriptures will reveal to you. Now I shall tell you a little bit about the conclusion of Vedanta. After reading these 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, two questions will arise in your mind. The first question, did Krishna teach the knowledge of the Atman to Arjuna? Or did Krishna teach how to work in this world? What did he teach? This question will arise in your mind. Because in the whole Bhagavad Gita, you will find sometimes Krishna is talking about the knowledge of the self, the Atman. And he was emphasizing the self-knowledge. And some places he is emphasizing karma yoga. Karma means action. Karma yoga. So the students of the Bhagavad Gita will get confused. Or Krishna taught both. This question will arise. Whether Krishna taught path of action or path of knowledge or both. These three questions might arise in your mind. What did Krishna teach? You will have to understand, when Krishna of the Bhagavad Gita was taught, there are two rival philosophers in India. Two rival philosophies. One is Vedanta Darshan, non-dualistic Vedanta, Abhyasa, and another school was Mimamsa of Jaimini, ritualistic school. You see, Vedas have two parts, ritualistic part, knowledge part. So there are two schools. Some teachers preach the ritualistic school and some teachers preach the knowledge school, the Upanishads. And now, Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, brought harmony of the both. It is like our St. Louis Arch. A column was rising this way, another column was rising the other side. And then these two columns are met with that arch on the top. So Krishna developed the path of action and it straight went high. He built another column, the path of knowledge. It also went straight high. Then he brought in devotion. That way, with the devotion, he cemented and made that beautiful arch on the Mississippi River. Krishna did the same thing. He brought a beautiful harmony, synthesis of these two paths. Now the question will arise, what did he teach? He taught everything. We should not be partial to say that Krishna only taught knowledge, not action, not devotion, not meditation. He taught everything. But if you see the conclusion, you will see that what he taught. Give up everything, take refuge in me, love me. I shall go a little bit more details. Self-knowledge, knowledge of the Atman, destroys eradicates the knowledge of multiplicity, duality. If you see one, you will be free forever. If you see variety, that means you are still in ignorance. Now, in the path of action, always remember, action is only possible in the domain of Maya. Three things are necessary if you want to do any work. First, a doer. I am a doer. Second, karta kriya, action. You need instruments. My hands, feet, eyes, they work. And the object. These three things are necessary. And karma fall, and the result of action. These things come. The result comes automatically, of course. So long you are in the domain of action, means in the domain of duality, you are not free. This Gita is moksha shastra, will give you liberation. So path of action is not the goal. This avidya, ignorance, goes away from knowledge. The darkness goes away by light. So Krishna brought the light of knowledge to Arjuna to illuminate his mind. That he is going to, Arjuna will acknowledge that, yes, yes, I got that light. It is coming. So now if we say that he taught both, then a Vedantin has an objection. Both means, do you know what both? Like firefly in the evening. Light, dark, light, dark, light, dark, light, dark. So the ritualistic school says, let Krishna taught both, you know, let we accept that Krishna taught both. Shankara says, no. Before illumination, knowledge is okay. Why do you work? Chitta Shuddhartham, for the purification of the mind. When the mind is pure, that mind goes inward, always remember. Whether your mind is pure or impure, do you know what is the test? The test is your mind will not go outside. A pure mind goes straight to the self, to the Atman, here. It does not go outside through the senses. It does not go to the objective world. If mind is impure, means mind is going outside. Prathak-chetanata. At that time, mind does not go outside. It becomes so pure that, you know, it is absorbed with its own self. It is a blissful state. All we are trying to achieve that state through meditation, so that mind may not go outside. You will find restless mind is always jumping. The Vedanta will teach you how to stay within. All treasures are there. These treasures which you are seeking outside, all treasures are there. It is a huge universe. You think that universe, the mountain, trees, plants, whatever you see, everything is inside. One day, you will experience this microcosm and the macrocosm are built in the same pattern. Then you may say that, then why did Krishna say to Arjuna that work this and work that, you know, meditate and practice this, practice that? Why did he say so? If the work is not the goal in the Bhagavad Gita, you see, the ritualistic school wants to pull the Vedanta down. Don't go to the high level, that knowledge. Stay in the karmika, in the karmakanda, in the action, in the field of action. Well, what Krishna meant, oh yes, so long you have ego, you go, work, finish all of your desires. Then you will see. But why did Krishna teach Arjuna that, you know, do this, do that? Do you know why? It is just like a mother is trying to feed her child a bitter medicine. So he put the bitter medicine into a ball, you know, some sweet ball, and say, now you eat it. Laddu. You know, American sweet is coming to my mind. In India, we have sandesh, laddu, some kind of, you know, cheese ball, and some kind of various kinds of sweet meats you can get. Donut, all those things, that is not right. I do not know. Not hard candies, it is kind of sweetness. Anyhow, they put inside, then you just eat it. So Krishna told all these things, you know, just to so that Arjuna can swallow. He gave the knowledge inside action, you know, sweet-coated, sugar-coated ball, so that Arjuna can swallow it. After liberation, when we find action, suppose an illumined soul after liberation is doing some work in this world, his work is different than our work. We have attachment for the fruits of action. He doesn't. He worked for work's sake, for the good of all. His work is karmabhas, shadow of work. He has no ego consciousness. He works as an instrument in the hand of the Lord, which is the highest state. Anyhow, I just told you in brief that it is path of action, path of meditation, path of knowledge, whether both can be practiced together or not. You see, Shankara says that I gave that example, firefly. Before illumination, action is okay. But after illumination, nobody goes to the path of action. It is not possible for him because his desire is burnt. He has no more desires. Without desire, there cannot be any action. As I told you many times, remember, this is the position of Vedanta. These three things, we are all continuously rotating in these three places. Ignorance, desire, action. Ignorance, desire, action. No action is possible without desire. No desire comes without ignorance. You have desire means you are ignorant. And you work because you have desire. So avidya, kama, karma, we are continuously rotating in these three places. That is the domain of Maya. We shall have to transcend this encircling, these three things. Then we shall be established in the self. That Krishna is going, Arjuna will testify. Yes, I am established now in my own self. He is going to tell Krishna after having instructions from him. These lessons, don't give it to everybody. But what will happen to the people, in the masses? Well, when they will get colic pain, they will come. When people in good health, nice time, high time, nobody cares for religion. But Krishna says, four types of people come to religion. First, artho, afflicted, terminal cancer. Oh Lord, save me, no hope. Jiggasu, inquirer, curiosity arose, or is trying to find out something, searching something. Jiggasu, arthartha, some people come to God. God give me more money, beauty, wealth, husband, wife, children. They are seekers. They are beggars. They come to God to seek, only to seek. And fourth class, jnani, the real true lover. They have everything in their lives. Still they love God. They are very advanced souls. They have beautiful husband, beautiful wife, children, money, home, good health. They have everything you can think of. Still they love God. That person had very, very good karma in his or her previous life. They are remarkable people. They are true lovers. That Krishna said, the four types of people come to God, come to religion. So Arjuna had everything. Name, fame, king, wife, children, money. Still he loved God. Next verse, 68. Ya imam paramam gujyam madbhakti shuvavidhashyati bhaktim mai param kritva mami vaishyati asamshayaha. He who with supreme devotion to me teaches this deeply profound philosophy to those who are devoted to me shall without question come to me. Here Krishna is talking that if you teach this Gita to the people, that person will come to me. Means, you see, if you teach the Gita, means you must practice the Bhagavad Gita. I remember when I first started to study Vedanta scripture, I decided that I must go to a person who practices. I don't like to go to a pundit. So called the scholar. They know the word meaning. They cannot inspire you. They can't. If you go to the university, the philosophy professors, they will give you a fantastic lecture, but they can't inspire you. They can enhance your intellect, intellectual power. They cannot give you tangible spirituality. That is the difference between Pandita and a practitioner. Those who really practice Vedanta in their lives, they are remarkable people. They will not tell you anything without practice. So their words are very powerful. It penetrates inside. I remember when I used to go to a teacher. You just go and sit down in his class. You will not have to prepare anything. You will find somebody is entered inside and is moving you. And you forgot space-time causation. He will bring all forgetfulness of the world from you. He will eradicate world from your mind at least an hour. They are remarkable people. You see, this religion, philosophy, it is our life. It is not for our living. Ya imam paramam goicham mad bhakti shuvidhasyati. Bhakti mai param kritva. Mami vaishyati. Vidichasya. You see, as you serve your husband, your wife, your children, your home, your family, your society, similarly, you must serve the scriptures. If you serve, you will be served. The scripture will serve you also. Sri Ramakrishna Devishan, one day he was seated in front of the Krishna temple and was listening to the Bhagavatam, a Hindu scripture where Krishna's life was mentioned. He saw a light emanated from the image of Krishna and touched the scripture and touched Sri Ramakrishna. This vision gave him this experience that the God, the scripture and the devotee are one. God's message has been manifested in the scriptures, and that the scripture illumines the heart of the devotees. So these three are one. As we meditate on our chosen deity, so we should meditate on the scriptures. Shastra. If you meditate on the scriptures, those thoughts will protect you. Last week, we were watching one movie, The Big Fisherman. We got a copy, so we were watching. Perhaps most of you have seen that movie about Saint Peter. And a little girl, her father was a king, and then she and her mother came to an Arab world, and that girl later returned to Galilee, and her father was then the emperor of Galilee. She wanted to take revenge because her father betrayed her mother. So she carried a sword and she was about to kill her father. When she was going to kill her father, she heard a voice. She saw Christ while Christ was teaching in Galilee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. That voice hovering that girl, she had a sharp dagger in her hand. She wanted to kill her father. But that voice stopped her. She didn't kill. It is called Shastra Kripa, the grace of the scripture. If you read the Bhagavad Gita carefully, you will find various passages which will give you protection when you remember them. There is one in the last part of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will find seven steps of destruction. How your soul goes to ruin, just destruction. Dhayatu vishayan pungsha sangyaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krudo vijayate krudad bhavuti sangmoha sangmat smriti vibhrama smriti bhramshat buddhinasho buddhinasat pranashyati. Dhayatu vishayan pungsha. If you think of the worldly sensual objects, it will grow attachment. The more you get attached to it, you will be addicted. If anybody thwart your addiction, you become angry. When you are angry, you are confused. When you are confused, you lose the power of discrimination. When you lose the power of discrimination, you will follow the teachings of your guru and the scripture. When that thing happens, that will take you to a bottom place. Total destruction. A doubtful soul perishes, says Krishna in the Gita. Give up doubt. Hold on to this light and the truth. When you have a very bad time, think, Krishna promised, Yogakshimam Bhaiman. Arjuna, I promise, I carry, I provide food, clothing, bare necessities to my devotees. He promised. Anyhow, there are many verses in the Bhagavad Gita you can meditate. So it is good to talk about Gita. Second, next. Nacha tasmad manusheshu kashin me priyakrittama bhavita nacha me tasmad anya priyutaro bhuvi. There is none among men who can do anything more pleasing to me than he, nor shall there be another on earth dearer to me than he. That means he who explains the Bhagavad Gita to the people, teaches people, this message of God. Man cannot live by bread alone. This food, spiritual food, will keep you alive. Not good food or fancy dessert. Hey, the message of words of God. You see, God and His message are the same. They are not different. He is very dear to me. Who talks about God? Adhyasyate cha ya imam dharmam sangvadam avayoho jnanajiggina tenaham ishtasyam iti me motihi. And he who will study this secret dialogue of ours, by him shall I have been worshipped through knowledge as a sacrifice. Such is my judgment. As you have noticed in this Bhagavad Gita, has been set up in a dialogue form. The stage is the battlefield. It is a war between the righteousness and the unrighteousness. The number of unrighteousness is more than the righteousness people in this world. The unrighteous party had 11 million. The righteous party had 7 million. Arjuna is the commander-in-chief of the righteous party. Now, who will win in this battle? Krishna, in the conclusion, the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita is Yatra Krishna Yatra Dhanan. They will say, where there is Krishna, there is victory. Because there is righteousness, there is truth, there is religion. So that is the last verse. They will say, who will win? Truth. Truth will win at last. The number of unrighteous people, maybe 20 million, that does not matter. They will win. Righteousness always wins at the end, in the long run. So it is a dialogue. Krishna and Arjuna. Sanjaya is the emissary who got divine sight from Vyasa, who was reporting the whole war to Dhritarashtra, the blind king, who was the father of the unrighteous party, Duryodhana and their 100 brothers. He is blind, born blind. You see, unrighteous people are always blind. Vadhyasyate cha imam dharmyam sangvadam avayoho. First, Krishna said, those who teach Gita to others. Now he says, those who study Gita, adhyasate, what will happen if you study the Bhagavad Gita? Well, that would be a jnanajigya, sacrifice of knowledge, worship of knowledge. By him shall I have been worshipped through knowledge. This I think. And Swami, if I do not understand the meaning, still it will do. What do you mean it will do? There was a devotee of the Bhagavad Gita who used to study, who used to repeat Gita every morning. And one day he held the book upside down. And you know, and he was reading. He got by heart, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, and he was reciting. Somebody said, you hold the book upside down. He said, do you understand its meaning? No. But why do you read? Well, when I read, I see Krishna and Arjuna, they are talking together. I will not have to get the word meaning. You see, he has vision of Krishna and Arjuna, they are talking together. So it doesn't matter whether you understand or not, but it... That is from the devotee's side. In Kansas City, a person was asking, he went to transcendental meditation, and he was asking, his mantra has any meaning? I said, of course it has meaning. Otherwise, why will Patanjali say, mantras tad japas tadartha bhavanam? If you repeat the mantra, you must think of its meaning also. Well, I got a mantra, but I do not know its meaning. I do not know. You find it out. Otherwise, then if it doesn't, well, they say that, you know, it has an effect. Then you repeat Coca-Cola mantra. Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. That is a mantra. So many words. Every word is a mantra. Because all sounds come from Brahman. It is true. One is Sri Ramakrishna and Vishnu Mother. You are only in the scriptures, only in good words. Are you not in the bad words? All Varnamayi, Mother, all sounds come from you. Same so emerged into Samadhi. But to you and me, when we are in the relative plane, we have good sound, bad sound. If your neighbor plays rock and roll, you cannot sleep in the apartment building. So those who speak about the Gita, they are very special people. They will reach God. Those who chant, study the Gita, it is jnana jagya, worship through knowledge. That also will take you to God. It is not, you may say, Swami, for us it is eulogy. Just to tempt, Krishna is trying to increase his group, you know. Increase his number, you know, followers. Even just to increase his followers. He does not have any motive. Next verse. Shraddhavan anasuyascha. Srinyadopi jo nara sopi mukta shuban lokan prapnuyat punya karmanam. And the man who hears this, full of faith and free from malice, even he, liberated from sin, shall attain the happy regions of the righteous. Even if you listen, that also will help. Sri Ramakrishna used to listen to the Bhagavad Gita. Then he said, do you know what is the quintessence of the Bhagavad Gita? If you repeat 10 times Gita, do you know how does it sound? Gita, 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 Gita. It comes tagi, tagi. Gita, if you reverse it, it becomes tagi. Gita, 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 Gita. You see, it opposite sound comes. Do you know what does it mean? Tagi means renounce, renounce, renounce. That is the quintessence of the Bhagavad Gita. What shall I renounce? My husband, my wife, my children, my home, my car. Then Krishna would ask Arjuna, go renounce your wife, Draupadi, your Abhimanyu, your kingdom, go to the forest or the cave. Krishna did not say that. What will you renounce? Ego. There's a beautiful story in the Yoga Vasishtha Ramayana. Once a teacher said to his disciple, renounce. He gave up all his clothing and whatever he had. Again he went to his teacher. The teacher said, renounce. I have only two things. A water jar, water carrier, and a Gita. So he renounced that thing also. And again Guru said, renounce. He said, what do I have? So he gave up his cloth also. Again the teacher said, renounce. He said, I have nothing. No possession. What else shall I renounce? Then after long thinking, you know, he thought, yes, I have a body. I shall renounce my body. So he set fire and he was thinking that I shall jump into that blazing fire and kill myself. My teacher always says renounce, so that is the only thing I have, I shall kill it. So when he set the fire, the teacher came and said, what are you doing? The sir, you asked me to renounce only my body. I have my body, I shall destroy it. Is this body yours, foolish boy? This body belongs to your parents. This body belongs to your parents. This body is not yours. Then this disciple was very much confused. Then what shall I renounce? Your ego. Renounce your ego, your attachment. That I meant. The Hindu scriptures tell the story of a great king Vipassana, who, like Ashoka, devotes his reign to improving the welfare of his people. You see, here Krishna says, Shubhi Mukta, he becomes free. If you listen to the Bhagavad Gita wholeheartedly, without knowing its meaning, then what will happen? You will be free and you will go to the higher realm. Shubham Lokan, did you translate? Shall attain happy regions of the righteous. Prapnuyat Punyakarma, because you did a lot of meritorious acts, righteous acts in your life. So you will go to the realm where the righteous people live. Now what does it mean? So I am reading this story from the Hindu scripture. The Hindu scriptures tell the story of a great king Vipassana who, like Ashoka, devoted his reign to improving the welfare of his people, who came to love and revere him as a saint more than a king. When he died, it is said, Sri Krishna appeared before him to escort him into heaven. But King Vipassana had an unusual request. Lord, he said, before I enter eternal bliss, may I see the suffering of those in hell. Sri Krishna must have been a little surprised by this, but he agreed, promising an angel to accompany and protect him. So like Dante, King Vipassana passed with his immortal guide into another plane of consciousness. But what he saw puzzled him. Wherever he passed, he saw only happy faces. People ran to greet him and to receive his blessing, but the tears in their eyes were tears of joy. Now a saintly king is still a king, accustomed to having his requests taken seriously, and there must have been a note of hurt in his voice as he turned to his escort and asked, why have you brought me here directly? I wanted to visit the other place first. Your Majesty, his angel replied respectfully, this is the other place. I don't understand. I expected hell to be full of suffering. Why is it that every face I see is shining with joy? This world is full of suffering. Behind you, beyond you, wherever you cannot see, It is being close to you that fills these people with joy. Then said Vipassi, I need go no further. I have found my heaven. He wanted to live in hell so that he could make the sufferers happy. No, I shall not read the other two verses tonight. They are very interesting. If I can finish one, but that will cut our chain line of thought. Please ask me questions. With the seed words also have meanings, you see. Yes. Yes. You see, there are two schools. One school says that, you know, even the mechanical repetition of the mantra also has an effect. Suppose you repeat it 1,000 times. And among these 1,000 times, 998 times your mind went outside. It did not touch your chosen idea. Only twice your two mantras touched your chosen ideal, and 998 times it touched the worldly objects, your problems of life, this and that. And now this mechanical repetition, whether it has value or not, you see, you will get a consolation prize like this. At least you can come out from the shrine and you can say, 1 hour I repeated mantra. Lord, what have I achieved? Then you will think, well, at least for the time of discipline, instead of going to the world, jumping around, my body stayed in the shrine. I might not have seen Lord, but Lord has seen me. It is true. Sometimes, you know, we don't have eyes to see God. God has eyes to see us. So if we sit in front of God, you know, for an hour in the morning and evening, you will get nice feeling. You see? Our pratyakha phal. This is the direct result. Once a monk was going for a pilgrimage and he was blind. Somebody asked that, why are you going? You have no eyes to see. Well, it is true, I have no eyes to see Lord Shiva, but Shiva has eyes to see me. So that is it. You see, sometimes, you know, how do I feel it? You are going to Kansas City by train. And you got a sleeping coach, very nice. You slept. And the train took you to Kansas City. Again, then that same train, and you slept all the way. And the train again came back to St. Louis. You got up and said, oh, you are back again, you are in St. Louis. Well, I wanted to go to Kansas City. You went to Kansas City, but you slept so much, you are again back. Sometimes in the shine, you know, we sit that way, you know. We think we fell asleep. Then we go to God and come back to God. That we are doing every night. Do you know what does the Chandogya Upanishad say? Every human being goes to God every day. When? Sushupti. In dreamless sleep, we go to that causal state. They call it daily transmigration. Nitya pralaya. Every day we go to that state where this cosmic consciousness remains. We go through ignorance, so we come back through ignorance. We go through sleep, we come back from the sleep. The same state you can go through meditation. And Shamji said, the samadhi and sushupti, deep sleep and samadhi, they look alike. A person is stupid, goes to that state, causal state, and comes back from the same and remains the same stupid. But a person through meditation goes to that state and comes back and becomes illumined. But you see, repetition of mantra, we say that, as I told you, that some effect you will get, no doubt. Knowingly, unknowingly, if you eat chili, your tongue will burn. willingly or unwillingly, if somebody pushes you into the water, your body will get wet. It is sure and certain. So knowingly or unknowingly, if you repeat mantra, it will do some result. But you see, as I was teasing, joking about Coca-Cola, the moment I repeat Coca-Cola, that Coca-Cola bottle come to my mind. And that sweet, that sugars, that syrup, I get the taste. I get the taste. When you repeat Coca-Cola, oh, I know Coca-Cola. Immediately your tongue will water and you know the bottle, how to open the cork and the glass. All these things you can visualize. You can get the taste. Similarly, those who are good japak, those who repeat mantra, adepts in chanting Lord's name, they get taste. With that, for this reason, we repeat long times. Sometimes I say 2 hours I shall sit in the shrine. At least 15 minutes my mind will stay in God. Whereas 1 hour, 45 minutes, my mind will go around. At least 15 minutes I shall live with God. Whereas today I lived 1 hour with God. Next day perhaps 5 minutes. You see, mind does not remain in the same plane every day. It depends upon the gunas, Vaishatva, Rajas and Tamas. The 3 gunas are continuously playing on your mind. The day your mind is calm, quiet, serene, you will see it immediately, you will be absorbed in God consciousness. And some days your mind is so disturbed, you can visit 1,000 monasteries and 1,000 shrines and 1,000 chapels. Your mind will not be calmed down. That time what to do when mind is too much? There is no hope. Only one hope. Holy contact. That will choke your mind in no time. For that reason, one should have some spiritual training. Go and say, I don't feel good. Tell me something about spiritual life. These holy people have the power to pump your mind up, to lift you up. Durlabastu sadhu sangha. Precious is the holy company. When you find in your life there is no hope, go to the holy person. He will tell you the purpose of human life, what to do.